Jimmy Lin, welcome to San Antonio. It's great to have you here.
Thank you.
How is it that we all love your violin playing? How have you sort of melded into conducting?
I began conducting only a few years ago as a sort of a evolutionary development, sort of an extension, because I started to conduct and play Baroque concerti like Bach, Vivaldi, including the Four Seasons, without a conductor, and then Mozart. And then I think from Mozart that evolved into play as a leader, as the concertmaster, standing, leading the orchestra in the 29th symphony, the A major of Mozart. And then that went all very well. And then I had a chance or two to lead a string ensemble in Tchaikovsky's Serenade and other things. And I began to actually to learn how to conduct. And I had lessons. I even took, you know, pointers from people like David Zimmern, Alan Gilbert, and Larry Radcliffe. So these are my sort of conducting mentors. And so as things developed, and I thought, well, there's certain repertoire that I really enjoy, and I know, you know, that I can do certain things that perhaps can get a good performance. You know, Rite of Spring is not going to be my repertoire, nor, you know, Mahler Ninth. But maybe Mozart, Schubert, even early Beethoven will be something that I would enjoy greatly, and hopefully that will translate into a good performance.
I think our audience probably knows the Four Seasons very well, but these Schubert are really gems and maybe not quite as well known.
Well, the two violin pieces that I'm playing from Schubert are very unknown. They were even not known to me until several years ago when somebody asked me to learn them, and I began to research them. I realized they're really beautiful. The Polonaise is so graceful, such a... What should I say? Incredibly elegant piece. And the Concertstück, or the concert piece, is perhaps as close as Schubert ever gets to writing a violin concerto. You know, it's a little bigger, a little heftier, involving, you know, trumpets and timpani and all that. It's a, you know, more virtuosic and perhaps more brilliant a work. And certainly, it's fun to play. But I'll just state for the fact that Schubert is never easy to play. You know, his violin music is really difficult. And then, you know, you hear a very elegant phrase in a Schubert work, like in any of these two works that I'm playing, and they seem very easy, but there's nothing easy about playing those phrases well. So the idea, the challenge is for the soloist or any violinist tackling Schubert to make it sound easy while, you know, we're struggling internally to figure everything out.
And I think he is one of those that writes melodies so incredibly well. You mentioned Mozart a little earlier, and this guy wrote as many songs as Mozart wrote pieces, and they both died, you know, incredibly young. And these melodies are just so incredibly beautiful that I think it comes out, especially in the symphony you mentioned, I think during rehearsal, saying this is very Rossini-like, who is also, again, such a great master of melody, that it's got to be sort of fun to work through this symphony with the musicians and to be able to share with the audience.
Well, first of all, I think in the Sixth Symphony, for instance, it's a relatively young work. Schubert was, I think, 21 years old. But, you know, there are certain elements, I think, of the sort of Italian opera in there. Don't forget, he was a student of Salieri. And so, you know, Italian opera was very popular in Vienna. So it's pretty unavoidable that Schubert was influenced somewhat, you know. And then there's that jolliness in that sort of very optimistic, bouncy way that Schubert writes certain his music. But, you know, but those things are perhaps, you know, peripheral. But the main thing is that you're right. Schubert's music is so full of one beautiful melody after another. It just keeps pouring out nonstop. And, of course, I think, you know, the two greatest tragedies in music history are the untimely death of Mozart and Schubert. You know, Mozart died when he was 36, and Schubert was only 32. And so those are very sad days in music history. Yeah, we should have had these two great composers for a lot longer.
I thought I'd ask a little bit about teaching. I know you're over at Rice, and that's got to be important to sort of carry on what you've learned through Dorothy DeLay and others, you know, to sort of pass on the torch.
Well, you're a violinist, so you know the importance of receiving good instruction. And I now realize that a young player needs to develop very quickly on how to play with good fundamentals. It's like, you know, figure skating or playing tennis on a high professional level. If you don't have the requisite technique, the development is going to be hindered or pretty much rendered useless. So I think teaching is very important, you know, in that not only are we, as grown-ups, we give something back to the next generation, you know, things that we receive from our mentors and teachers. And I had a great teacher in Dorothy DeLay, and I certainly learned a great deal from this great teacher. But I also think that it's important to not only nurture, but as a performer, I can give some guidance and insight for my students as to how to perform a piece from a real life experience. You know, it's one thing to play in a studio, in a practice room, but it's a very different matter to stand up on a stage that has, you know, you're playing for 1,500 or 2,000 people, because it's an entirely different mindset on how you project and how you work with, also with an orchestra. You know, like how do you play with a piano, you know, an accompaniment in a studio, in a school situation. And the pianist usually is very willing to do whatever you want. But a 60-piece orchestra might not be willing or unable to do the things that you want, because it's really hard to move a 60-piece orchestra, you know, like moving them back and forth like a sports car. It's hard to maneuver. It's like an ocean liner, you know. So you have to give certain consideration to how to practically apply your skills to a performance. And I find if I'm able to help from my own experience from playing and performing in public all these years, that's the least I can do.
Yeah. Well, you get to spend an incredible amount of time in one of the most beautiful areas, La Jolla, in the you know, the Southern California, and just sort of that perfect weather. And the programs are always wonderful. I noticed there's a bunch of world premieres coming up, folks like Stephen Stuckey and John Harbison. And I imagine that's sort of also important of not only presenting great, all great music, but music of today that's being introduced to new audiences.
Well, yeah, I'm a big believer in doing my share of presenting new music. I think, you know, the audience often gets the wrong idea. They think new music is something that's hostile and that's scary. But I have to always remind everyone that Beethoven's Fifth Symphony had its premiere, and it was considered new, and it was considered revolutionary. People didn't know what to make of his music at his time. And now, you know, of course, they, you know, the Beethoven symphonies go beyond any doubt. So maybe one day some of these pieces that I premiere and promote will become classics. That's fine. You know, even if one in 25 succeeds in being a lasting piece, that's wonderful. You know, but I gotta try. If I don't try, then I'm not doing my duty as a performer. And there's so many wonderful composers out there today. You know, I have the great privilege of working and getting to know so many fantastic composers. And not only are they writing fantastic stuff, but they have such great, fun personalities. You know, how I wish I can go back in time and meet Mozart and meet Brahms and Sibelius and people like that. But here I am, you know, in the present time, in here, 2013, I'm able to meet and work with great composers of today. And then maybe 100 years from now, another violinist will wonder, well, what was it like to work with Stephen Stuckey? Or what was it like to have known Christopher Rouse or Joan Tower? You know, that would be fun. But of course, I'll never find out.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess I'd end with if you wouldn't mind telling us a little bit about your violin and if you're using some different bows, if there's anything that changes with the Vivaldi and Schubert in that sense.
I wish I could go back and forth between a Baroque violin and a modern violin, but there's not enough time. And also, San Antonio Symphony plays on modern instruments, so there's no point for me to switch to a Baroque violin. So what I try to do is, I just do the Vivaldi Four Seasons sort of in the style, in a way. You know, I pay tribute to the performance practice, you know, the Baroque players. But obviously, there's no point in trying to sound like one, because without their instruments, I can't. But what I do use is a wonderful Stradivari from 1715. It has a name called Titian, named after the great Venetian Renaissance painter. And so it's the 1715 Stradivari Titian. And I use a beautiful French bow made by Etienne Pajot in the mid-1800s, 1850s or so. Those are my primary concert instruments.
Oh, cool. Well, we're looking forward to the concerts and appreciate you talking to us today.
It's great talking to you. Thank you.